Okay, it's 7:30. I'd like to call this meeting of the Summit Hill Unit District 161 Committee to order. If you'd all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Take a quick roll call. Mr. Martin?
Here.
Mr. Faber?
Here.
Mr. Marin is here. Dr. Rains?
Here.
Mr. Cook?
Here.
And Mrs. Minor? Okay, everyone is here. So, information and proposals, everyone has been supplied a copy, and this will take us right into old business. After our last meeting, we took the recommendation to the full Board of Education, as we discussed. However, the day before that was presented to the full board, we received word from Osborne Consulting that they were withdrawing their proposal. So they withdrew their bid that they had supplied to us, which was the only bid we had received, the bid we discussed last time, and that we were taking on to the full board. I read their letter in the board meeting, but essentially what it comes down to is 210 was not going to be contractually involved, and they had done what they labeled additional research and decided to withdraw their proposal. So that having been said, unless anybody has anything additional on that, that will take us to new business, which is really the next steps and how we proceed forward. And I will be fairly honest here, I'm kind of a blank slate on this one. So I haven't filled anything in on next steps, and we can certainly come to agreement and take action on next steps if there's something that we need to do or something that we need to take back to the full 161 board. But I am going to open this up to be a general discussion because I don't have a concrete plan that I'm sharing here. So at this point in time, I will open it up to anybody who has thoughts about this, not random thoughts, just to be clear.
And would it do us any good to go and put out another RFP to see if anyone would be interested? I mean, that's always an option.
It is, and one of the things that I had looked at is, I believe we sent this proposal, I'm looking at Dr. Rains, for anyone who's listening to this. We sent this proposal to the firms that were supplied by Michelle from the Illinois State School Board.
That's correct.
So we did not send it, nor did we get a request from it from anyone else. So we did not solicit beyond, I believe it was six.
Six.
I'm going from memory there. So we did not go beyond those six firms. As it was issued as an RFP, it would have been available to any other firms, but they would have had to have heard about it and contacted us to get a copy. But we proactively sought to send this to the six firms, and that was it. So it was limited to six firms, all of which were in Illinois,
yes,
and all of which were supplied by the Illinois State School Board. So that is certainly an option, is to come up with a list B, for lack of a better term, and send it out again. Simply opening the RFP and waiting for people to hear about it, I just think this is such a specialized skill, they won't unless we seek them out. So, do you have anything, Dave?
No, I wonder where we'd get this secondary list from.
I've been reaching out to other groups in other states, because, you know, this consolidation goes on all around us. It goes on in Indiana, it goes on in Wisconsin, it goes on in Iowa. And there are firms out there as well that do it. So I think Michelle gave us a limited list. You know, it was only six people. There are many other groups out there that do that. I have no explanation why these people did not respond on this one, and why Osborne actually backed out. You know, it could be for a numerous amount of reasons. We're not sure. But I'm confident that there's other groups out there that are very interested in doing something like this. We just have to vet them out a little more, I would say. So I've actually gone out and spoken to a couple of groups just to get their ideas. And I will definitely have some names for you by the next meeting so that you can send them out through an RFP. And that was another question. Since the board already technically did approve an RFP, do we have to go through the board approval again, or can we just move forward with it?
So given the timing of all this and the fact that we have a meeting in 2 weeks?
On the 12th.
On the 12th, that's 2 weeks, right? Not next Wednesday, but a week from.
That's correct.
If we compile a list, if we agree to recompile a list and send this out again, I don't think we have to wait for another meeting of this committee to take it. But because timing allows, I would take it to the full board.
Okay.
Simply to say that we would update the RFP simply to note that 210 would not be a contractual sign-on to this because apparently that's an important piece of data, and then reissue the RFP to the list that we would provide. I mean, I don't see a reason to wait for this committee to meet again to review a list that then we're going to show to the board. If we decide we want to send it out again, we'll come up with a list and send it out again, and that way we could do so effective the 12th and probably give till January 15th for people to reply, simply because with the holidays in there, the last 2 weeks are, you know, not very productive. I mean, at least not for me. And where I work, it's not productive the last 2 weeks of the year. I imagine there's other people who do a lot of work, but that's my thought, is how I would proceed. Again, it's, we could debate whether we have to take it back to the full board, but I'd rather be safe than sorry on this one and simply say, here's the list of names we're going to send it to. I don't think we'd have a lot of discussion about it because it's already been agreed to. Mm-hmm. We'd simply be sending it out to a second list of folks.
And the next board meeting is next week?
A week from. It's the 12th, December 12th.
So if I provide that list beforehand to Barb or yourself, you can bring that to the board?
Yeah, and what I would do is, if you're okay collecting it, if anybody has names, I know right now I don't, but I haven't spent much time looking at it, but if you come across a name where you'd like it sent, let's send that to Mr. Cook, have him add it to the list, and if you don't mind, if you've got the list started, being the consolidator of that, then it really is right by the 11th. We need the list. We'll put it as an agenda item, simply referencing the list, and then we'll present it to everyone at the board table. There's not a lot that needs to be studied ahead of time on that. So, and then what we would do is just have Mr. Wiley update the RFP, which again we could do, and it can be sent out then on the 13th. Mm-hmm. And how long did we give last time?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. So again, my suggestion would be, if we send it out on the 13th and say we want it back the 26th, probably not going to get a lot of responses. So I would go ahead and say, let's make it 2 weeks from the 1st, so mid-January there. When's our one meeting in January?
Another month, 20.
Yeah, because we canceled the 1st.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
and our planning session's also in there, beginning of February.
Yes.
Okay. So that'll work. We'll get it back by the 15th, so it'll be back before the, because we've limited now to one board meeting in January, but it'll be at the end of January. So we can get the responses. We can get together the week that the responses come back as this committee if we want, and review the responses, and then take the recommendation to the board in January. Because I know this is essentially costing us a month or two,
right?
November and December, but this way we'd have it to the board by the end of January, because that last meeting is later in January. So I'm good with that.
I have no issue with that. I didn't realize it was other.
Yeah, I don't know if you have anything else to add. Sure.
The people that did respond the last time, the firms that did respond, a couple of them had some timing issues.
Mm-hmm.
Did that free that up? By recent,
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea to just include them.
You can just re-include the initial, the initial group,
right?
Minus
right.
Osborne, of course.
Of course.
And then move forward with five, in addition to what Steve has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Just cost us postage. That's really all it is.
Well, no, it's
all electronic.
Oh, exactly.
It's just
right.
Emails. So,
email's here.
putting them back on there, I mean, if they get it and truly had no interest for reasons other than timing, they'll hit delete. So it's not a difficult process. It doesn't require a response. So yeah, I have no issue with that also. And I don't know, do you have any idea how many additional firms we would probably see? Just
a
gut feeling.
I have two in mind right now.
Okay.
And I still have a couple of other names I wanted to call. I, you know, instead of getting no responses, I want to make sure these people actually have an actual interest in doing this.
Okay.
So that was my purpose, to actually call them and find out. So, and two of them are definitely interested in pursuing this. So
it's
just a matter of reaching out and finding the right groups. That's really what it is.
Okay. And for anyone else, understand we're going to send this directly to the firms that will be noted, which will include the five before plus any additional ones. However, this is going to be an RFP for a public body. You don't have to be on our list to respond. So if anyone else has an interest or knows of another firm, you don't have to provide that to us. Once the RFP is issued on December whatever, and once it's issued by the board, it can be made available to any firm that would like to see it. So again, if somebody were to come on the radar end of December, they certainly would be welcome to respond also. All they have to do is request the RFP and we'll send it off to them. Mm-hmm. This is not something where we're going to exclude anyone from bidding. Okay. So Mr. Cook will act as the collection point for firms. If you have firms, please provide them. Mrs. Raines, or Dr. Raines, man, that's tough. It's just too many years. I'm an old dog. Learning new tricks is difficult. Can you send to me a copy of the RFP in an editable form from Mr. Wiley? And I will edit it to include the note about 210. Having been the person who took it to them, I'll just give that an update. And then we'll be all set for the meeting in December. And then hopefully we get that out before the holidays, and then everybody can respond after.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Okay, thank you. Anything else for next steps?
No, I think that is our next step.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I as I said, I walked in with a fairly blank slate, so we've got some direction, and I'm good with it. I think it's a way to proceed forward. So, okay, we will take that as our next step then, and that will appear on the December 12th full 161 board agenda. And moving on, do we have any public comments? Anyone? No? Nothing? No, nobody?
What didn't you do, Steve?
I just wanted to bring up something I wanted to clarify from the October 210 meeting. When you requested the feasibility study with mm-hmm. 210. It was stated about assets and liabilities, and it would not be determined before the vote. And I think it was very unclear, and I listened to it several times, and I think it was Mr. Janik. He was asking a question saying, when would we know the cost? And it's kind of unclear if he's even talking about the feasibility cost or if he was talking about the division of assets and liabilities to 210. So I was wondering, since this is such a unique situation, if maybe it should be in the feasibility study, that when you do reach out to these companies, actually ask for that as one of the criteria, that, you know, what would be the division of assets and liabilities, because that's something that everyone would need to know prior to voting.
Yes, and so I agree that the question was probably a bit unclear, but to help matters, my response was as clear as mud. It was not a good response. While technically I think it was correct, it was very misleading. Technically speaking, the division of assets is done by the regional office of superintendent after the vote. However, the referendum itself covers the division of assets and will describe how the assets would be divided. So the actual mechanical process is something that would be done by the ROE after the vote, but as part of the referendum writing, you would describe, or it would be described, how that would be done. I think it's a natural outcome of the feasibility study because we're asking for building utilization, and we're also asking for all of the bond balances, I believe, are in there. There's debt balances. So I think the feasibility study is really focused on collecting facts. So I don't know that they would give us that, but they would give us the information we would need to then decide on a referendum afterwards. But I do agree with you, it would be decided before people vote based on the feasibility study. You would take all the assets that were covered in the feasibility study and discuss how you were going to divide them up. And that is probably a problem that I created, and I'd like to blame Mr. Faber for that. He wrote up my notes on that, I'm sure. But yes, so I don't think we can include it in the feasibility study. Does anybody else think otherwise?
Well, I think you say it's naturally going to come out of the feasibility study, right, based on the information they provide.
Absolutely, so. Because we did ask for buildings, we asked for assets, we asked for... they gave a pretty good listing in here. I was actually surprised at all the things that they, you know, would normally cover. But it does cover all of the facilities, and it also covers all of the local finances. Mm-hmm. So it's going to cover all the debt. So I think it will come out of the feasibility study.
I think the wording, just division of assets and liabilities, would have happen after. That's the physical division.
Correct.
After. But the paperwork, the knowledge, you would already know your numbers before.
Correct.
Going in.
Yes, it would be something that would be covered by the referendum. That is correct. And that's where I was probably slightly confused myself, and then in speaking was unclear even about my own thoughts. So that's, thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for pointing out my failures. I appreciate it.
I mean, to add.
It was yours.
Yeah.
To add what she was saying, back at the meeting, I mean, you actually just went there to request a feasibility study.
Correct.
We are really not prepared to tell you what's going to end at the end of the game here and see how it ends up, because
right.
But we just wanted to find out whether or not this is possible or not possible.
Right.
And really, I think a lot of the board members at 210 were trying to jump further ahead to say, well, what about this and what about that? And I can understand their concern, but really, we didn't know the answers to those questions. Though I did reach out to Ms. Henninger and actually asked her some of those questions. And if you don't mind me reading, I'm just going to read this off real quick. She said, there seems to be two sections of the school code that have a timing issue. The petition requirements state that where applicable, a division of assets and liabilities are to be included in the petition. The final accounting for when a portion of the district is included in a new unit district is to be initiated by the regional superintendent. But the school code speaks of this after the new district has been created. So she even said, she goes, I'm not a lawyer. She said,
right.
But I'm telling you, she goes, there is a somewhat of a conflict between the two school codes. She said, you should probably talk to a lawyer. So then you know what I did? I talked to a lawyer. And his response was, he goes, my take is that the information must be in petition or an argument that could be made that the voters did not have. I'm sorry, let me repeat that. My take is that this information must be in the petition or an argument can be made that the voters did not have full and complete information before they signed the petition. Which I completely agree.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to put out a referendum, you want to list everything you're going to do, because, as I'll continue, he says, I believe that the better course would be to have an accounting completed before the drafting of the petition, so that the financial advantages can be set forth accurately and supported by hard numbers. I would not think that you and your group would proceed with such an accounting first, as this would be one of your primary selling points for the effort to create a new district. He said, I would expect the final accounting to be completed after the new unit district was created, but the numbers would already be known prior to the drafting of the petition. A final accounting can simply confirm the information that was already known and disclosed. I would rather see the accounting information set forth in the petition itself in simple and clear terms, if possible, to let the voters and residents know not only what is being proposed, but why. I do not see the 11E-105 as preventing this. So basically saying,
yep.
If you're going to do a referendum, show us why it's advantageous to the entire district.
And to be fair to the school code, keep in mind that we've said before, a feasibility study isn't even required in order to put a referendum forward. So the school code also has to cover things where you have two one-building unit districts that are in an unpopulated area that want to merge together to have some savings. There's not necessarily a feasibility study done. There isn't accounting of all the assets. You have a small group of people that are moving in with a larger group of people, and everyone votes on it, and it's done. And that's not part of the referendum. It simply says we're going to merge the two. So the school code has to account for a number of things. Again, you could proceed even with something as large as what we're talking about without a feasibility study and without doing the accounting as part of the referendum, but it would, in my opinion, it would be extremely foolish. Right. I don't know how you could vote on something like that. So I think that's correct. I think that's a good distinction to draw, and I think that has to be our assumption as we proceed forward.
Like you said, this is extremely unique.
Yep.
And even Mr. Lachetti observed that himself in the meeting.
Yep.
And it's primarily because it's such a large district. It's not a combination of two schools trying to survive. It's basically saying, listen, we want to utilize this particular school now. So yep. It's a little very different.
Okay. No, thank you. All right. No more public comments. Future meeting dates. The next meeting that we'll have where this item will come up, as I said earlier, December 12th, 2018, here at the Mary Drew Administrative Center. That'll be at 7 p.m. That'll be a full meeting of the 161 board. And with that, I think we're done. And can I have a motion that we adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.